Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has offered farmers and ranchers a strategic consulting approach to manage both marketing opportunities and risks utilizing the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
And coming up on 850, sitting in for Dave Dickey, I'm Jay Pierce with the pre-opening market report here on WILL. Well, the stock market's open, and yesterday the Dow broke through a bottom reached in November, closing at 7466, the lowest close for the Dow since October the 9th of 2002, in the depths of the last bear market. And it's down some more this morning to 7363 right now, down 102. Since the open earlier this hour, consumer prices rose by the most in 6 months in January, propelled by higher energy costs. But over the past year, inflation has been flat, the lowest reading in more than half a century. Well, this morning, we got the USDA export report, the weekly export sales report, at 7:30 Central Time, a day later than usual because of the President's Day holiday. And for corn, it looked like this. USDA reporting net sales of 1.3 million metric tons for the week ending February 12th, down 14% from last week's marketing year high, but up 9% from the prior four-week average. And analysts expect sales between 800,000 and 1.2 million metric tons, top buyers including Japan, Taiwan, Mexico, and South Korea. The Ag Department said the total weekly soybean export sales were a net 1.18 metric tons for 1.18 million metric tons, that is, for the week ended February 12th. Sales for 2008 and 09 were a net 1.094 million. Analysts had forecast sales between 600 and 900,000. The primary buyer was China. Soy meal sales were a net 142,700 tons. Trade estimates had ranged from 125 to 225,000. And the export sales for wheat totaled 433,500 metric tons, a 15.9 million bushel export. And analysts surveyed by Dow Jones Newswires had expected export sales of 200 to 500,000. U.S. wheat exports so far this marketing year, which began in June, totaled 23.5 million tons. The Mercantile Exchange will have hogs maybe opening 20 to 60 points lower today, say some analysts. Live cattle 40 to 100 lower. The government's monthly cattle and feed report will be released at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Central Time.
Agricultural information on WILL is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
And we'll take a look at how the overnight trade went and talk things over this morning with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. But first, it's time for the growing area weather. Here's Mike Sola.
Well, thank you, Jay. And first off, in the U.S., we're looking at a couple of storm systems that are pushing into the Midwest. This storm system off the provinces of Canada coming into the area, it'll bring significant snowfall. There will be a procession of storms that moves across the Midwest over the next week to 10 days, and that does mean more significant soil moisture across the Midwest. In the short-term drought indicator, there's only a couple areas that are considered dry, and one, not a major growing area, but across northern and central Wisconsin into the upper peninsula of Michigan, another area just to the south, starting to get in towards the Corn Belt across portions of western and central Tennessee. It is still quite dry across the southeastern states and the Delta, but the area that had been under extreme drought has really shrunk, and it now just covers western South Carolina and the northeast corner of Georgia. In the southern plains, there's a large area across Texas and in through western Oklahoma that's considered in moderate to severe drought, and the extreme to exceptional drought will continue across central and south central portions of Texas. Western states, well, they could always use a good drink of water. They're still in drought anywhere from moderate drought to extreme drought across a good portion of California and in through Nevada and other states. Again, not major growing areas, but will impact the weather as storm systems try to move across that area. Some of the moisture dries up. Again, the Midwest will see frequent rounds of precipitation during the next couple weeks. Most of the precipitation light, and a number of locations will experience flood conditions, but that will be on the decline, except for a short period when snow cover melts next week. Snow is expected to accumulate in many areas starting today in the upper Midwest and moving through the eastern Corn Belt during the day and evening on Saturday. Southwestern Corn Belt receiving the lightest amount of precipitation over the next couple weeks, and net drying will occur in some areas. Overall, it looks like the soil moisture is in pretty good shape as long as it doesn't get overabundant before the planting season starts across the corn and soybean belts. As far as Argentina's weather, two weather disturbances are expected in the first week of March, and that should come along with some follow-up moisture. Net drying conditions during the next week will bring back some crop stress in those areas that failed to receive significant precipitation this weekend. Early March precipitation will start off light, sporadic, and increase thereafter. Brazil, again, rain looks to be impacting most of the nation at one time or another over the next week to 2 weeks. Frequency and significance of the precipitation may diminish in some central and northeastern crop areas for a while, but the situation will prove quite favorable for early season crop maturation and harvest progress. Southern Brazil will get the most significant rain, and late season crops will stay in favorable conditions. Looking quickly at the U.S. and some of the other areas in the south, cool weather and dry conditions are slowing the growth of pastures and winter grains, especially in the southern Atlantic states and along the Gulf Coast. In areas with adequate moisture, crop growth has also been slowed due to a return of the below normal temperatures for this time of year. The plains, the warm, windy conditions across the southern portion of the region, maintaining significant stress on pastures and winter grains. In Texas, the 64% of the winter wheat has been rated very poor to poor, and 84% of the oats and 76% of the pastures and rangeland continue to be in poor shape. They do need some big-time moisture across the southern plains. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola. Enjoy your weekend.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Some of the overnight prices. First in Kansas City, March wheat opened at $5.58, down a quarter, and down 10 and a quarter on the last trade. May opened at $5.66, down 1, down 3 and a quarter on the last trade. The spring March wheat, $6.28, up 2 and a quarter on the open, down 4 and 3 quarters on the last trade. May at $6.12 and a quarter, unchanged on the open, down 4 and a quarter on the last trade. March in Chicago, $5.20, up a half, down 7 and a half. May, $5.32, up 1, down 7 and a quarter. July, $5.44, up 3 quarters, down 7 and 3 quarters. And September, $5.70, up 3 and a quarter, down 1 and a half. March corn, $3.53 and a quarter, unchanged on the open, down 3 and a quarter on the last trade. May opened at $3.62, unchanged, down 3. July at $3.71 and a quarter on the open, down a quarter, down 3 on the last trade. In September, $3.81, unchanged, and up 1. March soybeans, $8.83, down 1 and a half, down 13 and a quarter on the last trade. May, $8.85, open down 1, down 13 on the last trade. July at $8.90 and a half, down 1 and down 12. Soybean meal for March, $2.77.40, up 90 and down $3.80. And soybean oil at $30.45, up 3 and down 31 on the last trade. And Jackie Vakes joins us now from Stewart Peterson Group. Jackie, what do you see in those numbers?
Good morning, Jay. What do I see in those numbers? Yeah. I guess, you know, we are certainly being dominated right now by the economy and the perception of the economy. We have option expiration today, so we've got a lot of different things going on in this market. I think one of the positive things that we have seen, as of this morning, of course, is very good export sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had bean sales that were way over the top. We had bean oil sales that were way over the top, and we continue to reduce how many bushels we need to send out every week to make the USDA expectation. In fact, it's really down dramatically over the last 5 weeks. We've seen corn sales above 40 million on export side. So I think if I have one thing that I'd like to urge people to do, we have to have patience. You know, we've got strength building in the grains underneath, but we're going to be the focus is going to be on the Dow Jones. The focus is going to be on the crude oil. And I think the greatest concerns when it comes to the Dow is just that you have a lot of people who are thinking that banks are going to be nationalized or regulated. And I guess I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. But but the Dow evidently doesn't care for it very much. We're down about 120 right now. And so, but crude had a big surprise yesterday, you know, when they came in with tighter stocks than what they expected them to have. And I think it was encouraging today. Crude went down to the 10-day moving average, bounced right back off of it. So we've got stuff building underneath, but we're going to be overshadowed by Wall Street's perception of what the economy is.
And gold is up a little bit this morning.
Oh, my. Gold was over $1,000 the first time since last July. And, you know, the thing that's interesting when you look at the gold and the dollar relationship, normally when you have gold up strong like that, flight to quality, you see the American dollar pushed lower. In contrast, the American dollar, again, is trading higher today. My opinion is that we still continue to have other countries buying the American dollar with the idea that they still believe that our economy is going to do better than theirs for right now. At some point in time here in the future, I do believe we're going to see the American dollar really, really take a drop.
Jackie, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Jay. Have a great day.
You too. And that's Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group joining us on the pre-opening market report. The Dow at 7368, now down 97. This is WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.